On this episode of Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks, I sit down with Brad Baldridge to uncover how to tame the high cost of college.
Hey Mavericks, this is Ava Baukamp, and this episode of Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks is brought to you by Legacy Impact Investors. We are an industrial investment firm located in cash flow country, the Midwest. We strive to shield off risk and beat inflation, all while producing predictable cash flow. We curate real estate investment opportunities for busy professionals and other real estate investors seeking passive income. To learn more about what we do and connect with me, go to www.legacyimpactinvestors.com.
Maverick, noun, unusual person, a visionary, leader, go-getter, an independent thinker. They see the vision for their life and pull that future towards them with an unyielding belief that things can and must be better. They achieve what most won't. Innovative, influential, daring, and direct, with a remarkably high tolerance for taking calculated risk. A foe to the status quo. This is Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks. Your host, Neil Timmons, has been involved with over $300 million in real estate transactions. He's a published author, commercial property investor, and real estate syndicator. This show is for those who want to learn how to earn passive income through real estate investing. Now, here's your host, Neil Timmons.
Welcome to Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks, where we provide you actionable steps to grow your passive income and become job optional. During this episode, you're going to get to discover how to tame the high cost of college. Now, for those of you who are new, I'm your host, Neil Timmons. I love passive income from real estate. Now, before I introduce you to today's Maverick, I want to make a request that at any point you like what you hear, well, give us a thumbs up. Be certain to subscribe to the show. Never miss a valuable episode. And if you love what you're hearing, well, give us a written review. Plus, be sure to look at the description of this episode. We packed it with thousands of dollars in free resources. Now, today, we've got the privilege to learn from a person who is totally focused on corralling the cost of high college tuition and room and board. Now, he helps specialize and work with folks who are planning either from very young age kids all the way through you're in high school and how to figure it out. I would describe today's Maverick as somebody who's passionate about helping people find the right path and putting proper planning in place. Today's Maverick, I've got Brad Baldridge here with me. Brad, welcome to the show. Say, for the audience's sake, who are you? Where are you from? What do you do?
Yeah, my name is Brad Baldridge, and what I call a college planning specialist. So I help families plan and pay for college, becoming a bigger deal as it gets more and more expensive. And I kind of tie it in with overall financial planning and saving and investing and the whole piece of it. So I tend to work with parents versus students. So a lot of people have heard about someone that'll help you with your test prep or help you with your essays or what your student wants to be when they grow up. And there's a lot of great people out there that do that, but that's not me. I focus on what the parents need to do around college. Things like, are you going to get need-based aid and merit aid? Should you be saving and investing? Now that you're getting relatively close, do you have enough? Should you spend $90,000 a year on college or not? You know, some of those kind of questions.
There's a lot of big questions there. One thing that's interesting, it's fascinating to me is college and higher education, that is, and healthcare have been two of the largest sectors that have outpaced inflation for like better than a decade, and almost no other categories outpaced inflation for that extended period of time. It has gotten tremendously expensive. And you're right, it's left parents and certainly younger folks questioning the value proposition of college. But let's say somebody's, yes, they're in, that's the path for them. And I want to start at the later years, not the younger years, the later years. Now they're somewhere in high school and maybe they're a little behind perhaps. And so are they just behind the eight ball? There's no real good alternatives, no real good solutions. Are there some strategies and solutions they should be giving consideration to that they may not yet know about?
Well, absolutely. What I tell people is there's literally hundreds of tactics, right? If you do this, you'll get a little more financial aid. If you do that, you'll save a little bit on interest. If you work with the schools on this idea, you'll get a slightly lower price, whatever it might be. And there's the scholarship side of things. There's all different these different angles. Mm-hmm. And the challenge, I think, for a lot of families is maybe 5 or 10 strategies are the right strategies for you. So you have to start with kind of sifting through and saying, well, no, that doesn't apply. Someone will say, well, If you have an athlete, they get preferential treatment as far as admissions, and sometimes they even get scholarships. It's like, well, yeah, great advice, but I don't have an athlete, so it doesn't apply. So like I said, there's lots of things families can do. And occasionally someone says something to the effect of, well, I'm not going to get need-based aid. There's nothing I can do. It's like, while it may be true you're not going to get need-based aid, there's still a lot you can do. It's just not need-based aid related. Now it's tax planning, saving and investing, negotiating with schools, understanding and finding the right school for the right price, et cetera, that would be more effective than worrying about need-based aid.
You mentioned one of my favorite words, negotiating with schools. What does that mean? What would that even look like in a real life situation?
Right. So most families will apply to multiple schools. And in the end, when it comes time to make your choice, you can essentially appeal the offers that they're offering. And some colleges will consider increasing the offer or doing something different on your behalf. Again, whether you think, well, they made a mistake, or you're just saying, I really love this school, but go to this school for $10,000 less. I don't think I want to pay $10,000 more. Yeah. So you go back to the school that you really want to go to and say, well, I'm willing to come, but not for $10,000 more. And they may say, oh, well, split the difference, or we'll match, or we won't do anything at all. Either if you're going to come, we're not adjusting the price. You don't know until you ask. Some schools are willing to compete a little bit on price. Other schools have a very strict, we're better than the average school, so we're expensive and we're worth it. And you don't know where you stand until you start, you dig into it a little bit.
What you just described there, do you find that situation applies more in private schools versus the state universities?
Yes, for sure. Now, there's a new angle as well, as the out-of-state public schools, right? So like here in Wisconsin, it's about $25,000, $27,000 to go to a state school. Mm-hmm. If you're in state, but if you're out of state, the tuition goes up a lot more. And now it's $45,000, $20,000 difference by being out of state.
Right.
Well, a lot of our schools will waive some of that for various reasons, or even all of that, to where the price, even for out of state families, is much closer to the in state price. Maybe not all the way there. Sometimes it is all the way there, but not always. So yeah. Because there's less students, colleges are now starting to compete more for students, and even the state systems have realized that if they can pull kids from out of state, well, then they can fill more seats and it makes it easier for them. And a lot of times they can get a little bit more money for those kids as well. Mm-hmm. So the landscape has changed a little bit on that. So yes, we see it both private and lesser extent, some public.
Those types of programs that you mentioned, you know, where a university would compete for an out-of-state person and reduce or eliminate that high burden of crossing one state line. Are mm-hmm. most of those types of things in the public domain? That you, meaning you can go search, find that university, find the information that's available for that type of situation?
Yes, it is in the public domain, but it's not all in one place. That's mm-hmm. what makes it challenging, right? So you can learn a lot about a school once you understand how the system works and you're willing to do a deep dive for a particular school.
Sure.
But that's the challenge, right? Doing the deep dive takes a lot of time. And if your student is kind of at the beginning of the process and you're saying, well, there's 40 or 50 schools that we might be considering, you can't do a deep dive on all of them.
No.
So you got to kind of figure out and learn some of the rules. There are some databases out there, and I've got some software, et cetera, where there were some of the information is starting to coalesce and it's getting better than it used to be. It's kind of like when we used to do car shopping, right? Long ago, yeah. Pre-internet, nobody knew anything about what the fair price was.
Right.
Now, there's lots of information out there about what a fair price for a particular car is. Whether it's good information or not is a different question, but right. At least now you're not completely in the dark. And it's the same with the colleges. That a lot of colleges will put the information on their website as an example. If you dig around and you can find, we offer scholarships to out-of-state kids, and they look kind of like this. The problem is, again, if you're saying, well, I need to look at 20 different state programs, it's going to be 20 different websites, 20 different right. ways that they do it, and it just gets complicated. And I think that's one of the challenges around college in general. As it's become more complex and they've bolted on all these programs, we've got loan programs, we've got grant programs, we've got federal and state aid, we've got the colleges themselves providing aid, and we've got colleges free for this demographic and colleges low cost. All these different programs, it's a patchwork now where a lot of families don't realize, oh, well, this type of school in our situation is actually better than that type of school. And
right.
their brother-in-law, just the opposite. And a lot of people are just have bad information. I'm not going to get any aid because my brother-in-law didn't.
Right.
Or I'm going to get a ton of aid because my brother-in-law did.
Yeah.
That may or may not be true, but in order for that to be a good analogy, you got to be very similar. Student needs to be similar grades, similar goals, similar majors, similar schools. And then the parents' income and assets need to be similar. And if that's all true, well, then it's a good analogy. Otherwise, in a lot of cases, you need to really understand how it's going to work for you and not worry so much about how it worked for others.
Yeah. The FAFSA, I hear conflicting information relative to that. I hear some people going, and certainly student aid folks going, everybody should fill that out. And then I got a bunch of friends who run in very high circles are going, that is a waste of time. If you're past a certain level, you're wasting your time, fill out the FAFSA. Is there some sort of calculator? Is there a way to cut through various information that one hears to know? Or do you have an opinion on who should absolutely do it? And maybe there's a line, maybe everybody should.
Right. Yeah. So I'm comfortable saying if your family earns a million or more, you don't need to bother. I'm reasonably comfortable saying if you earn a half million or more, but I have seen families earning $300,000 and $400,000 qualify for need-based aid. So it's rare, and you're a lot less likely to qualify for need-based aid at $400,000 of income than you are at $50,000 of income, for sure.
Fair. Yeah.
But it's a lot of work to figure out all the rules and all the exceptions. So it's much simpler to say, just everybody fill it out. And then if you're going to say, I don't want to fill it out, and you're going to do that properly, then you need to do the research to figure out what the ramifications of your not filling it out are.
Sure.
And that's a lot of work. So it's just simpler in general to just say, just fill it out and see how it goes. And they're making it easier. So the FAFSA is due for an overhaul. They're working on it as we speak. This coming fall, or we're in the fall now. Normally it would be available in October. This year it got delayed to December because they're rewriting it and rebuilding it, and it's going to be even easier.
Yeah. It sounds like what I hear you saying is there's no downside to filling it out other than your time, but it's not like you're penalized. Something happens for you that could negatively affect you or your student. Are you a passive real estate investor seeking financial freedom? Well, today's market's unique and it's ever-changing. Now is the time to get educated on how to strategically invest in commercial real estate for long-term financial freedom. Grab your copy of How to Passively Invest in a Changing Economic Environment. Go to www.mavericksinvest.com.
I would agree with that, yes. I mean, I guess there'd be a rare, very rare instance where a multimillionaire, it shows up on the form, and because of that, some college makes a decision that's not in your favor.
But
it could also make it in your favor, because again, sometimes colleges will look at families that have substantial wealth and say, oh, these guys are future donors. Let's go ahead and
get them in. Yeah.
Get them in, because they may not build a library this year or next year, but 50 years from now, they might build the library.
Right. Yep.
And again, do they all think that way? No, a lot of them probably don't. Again, that's where I think the college process is, that you should always do this or never do that is,
right.
Well, you should never do always and always say never, but that's bad advice usually, because I think, again, it's much more nuanced. Just like the politicians didn't do us any favors with the college for everybody. Mm. And it's like, well, college is the wrong path for a large swath of the population.
Correct.
So making it sound like they're a failure if they don't go to college is not serving anybody, right? I mean, there's lots of families or lots of students out there that start college and never finish.
Yeah.
And they'd have been much better off had they not started most of the time. And yep. Again, especially if they graduate with debt, right? That's where we see the biggest regrets, is where people go to college, they take on a ton of debt, and they either don't finish or they don't get a degree that's worth much and they don't use it much. Mm-hmm. And they move on and with their life and go do other things. And it's like, well, they kind of wasted their time and money and didn't see that going in. And it's a case by case. Well, it's always good or it's always bad. You just got to put more effort into it.
Yep.
And figure out, is it the right path for you?
Yeah. So say somebody's somewhere in high school, their child's definitely going to college. What are one or two things they should absolutely do in the planning process or in the action process on the backside of the plan? What action should they be taking?
Right. First and foremost, I guess, is just learning the process, right? Mm-hmm. Now, you need to understand, will you qualify for need-based aid and merit aid? And how much are you willing to spend? So again, kind of big picture, the average state school is about $27,000. And that's all in tuition, room and board, books, fees, beer and pizza, the whole cost for a typical student. The average private school is about $57,000. The elite and the expensive and the name brand schools are, many of them are well over 80 and pushing 90
mm-hmm.
per year. So now on the flip side of that, you know, like Stanford is 87 or whatever it is, but they put out a press release a year ago that said, if your income is below $100,000, we're free. as in zero tuition and zero room and board.
Wow.
And if your income is between 100 and 150, we're going to waive all tuition, but you may have to pay some towards room and board. Well, many families get that sticker shock of looking at Stanford. They don't realize that for them, it's not a $90,000 school. It's a $50,000 school, a $20,000 school, or even a free school.
Wow.
And of course, the other big challenge is Stanford is highly selective. So your student has to be a rock star to get accepted to begin with.
That's right.
But if you have that rock star, they've got a lot of options. Again, another great analogy, right? If you have the rock star, the rules are different than if you don't have a rock star.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't know that until they jump into it and start really figuring it out.
Right. Yeah. So understand that process. And then it sounds like from there, formulate a plan in order to how to move forward, given your unique situation.
Exactly. Right. And then there's lots of tactics, right? I mean, we can get into the details around, well, for financial aid, there's things you can do that will make it better. For some people, it won't make it good enough that it'll make a difference. So you're wasting your time, right? Again, if you're the surgeon making $3 million and people say all the time, well, if I have this money in this bank account, then they're going to count it against me. And it's like, yes, they will count that $100,000 in the bank account against you. But they also count your $1 million salary against you. And that alone disqualifies you. So it doesn't matter what else you do. You're never going to get it. So ignore need-based aid and move on to tax planning and saving and all the other ways that you can do it.
Yeah.
And that's hard for some people. They get all... So it's really building a package that works best, considering all aspects, taxes and saving and interest rates and need-based aid as well.
Yeah, that need-based aid is taking into consideration where you were headed is both income and assets, net worth.
Right.
Both.
Yes, exactly. But not all assets are included and not all income. There's a lot of nuance to it where, like, as in generally, they don't count your retirement plans against you as far as assets. So if you've got a big 401k, that doesn't matter. You have real estate, it may or may not be included, depending on your primary residence, especially may or may not be included, depending on the college.
Yeah.
Your college savings plans generally do count. Your bank accounts generally do count. Your debts generally don't count. So if you have $50,000 in the bank and you owe that same bank $50,000 on a credit card, it's not a wash. You're going to report the asset, but not the debt. So you might be better off to take the asset and pay off the debt.
Sure.
Again, assuming that the colleges you're dealing with are willing to give you need-based aid if you qualify for it, right? Yep. Because a lot of state schools are going to say, well, based on the formulas, you deserve aid. All we can give you is what the federal government offers.
Mm-hmm.
You do some planning and they say, well, not much has changed. You still get all the stuff that the federal government offers. Yes, you need more, but we don't have more. So unfortunately, we're going to gap you, as that's all about. And then from there, there's also another way to think about it is there's a stuff that everybody has to do. So everybody's going to have to visit colleges and pick colleges, you fill out financial aid and all that kind of stuff. And then there's additional learning. If you have an athlete, well, now you have to understand, are they going to get recruited and given a full ride scholarship like the football players we see on TV? Or are they rower that's going to be third string and not get much of anything for that?
Right. Yeah.
But they might love it and they want to do it in college anyway.
Yeah.
And then going on from there, you have a far and wide kind of kid or that rock star that we talked about before that might be looking all over the country. It's like, okay, how many of these schools are you going to visit?
Right.
So you have to go to Texas and Boston and California. There's only so much time. And usually those kids are busy. And those kids say, I'm in four AP classes right now. I can't miss school.
Right.
So now you're saying, well, how do we visit colleges during the week when we can't miss school? And mom and dad have busy lives too.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, the way you do it is you plan ahead.
Yeah.
And so those areas, and then business owners have opportunities, right? Because you can control your income. You can control your assets.
Yeah.
You can hire kids into the business. You can set up tuition reimbursement plans. You can do more because you're both the business owner, the boss, and the employee, where you could set up plans that may benefit yourself. Obviously, there's rules you have to follow. But again, a lot of opportunities there as well.
There's a tremendous amount of opportunities, and a lot of it just comes down to planning, taking stock of where things are, what you're trying to accomplish. Brad, this is a fantastic conversation. I know there's plenty of folks listening to this who are going to have more conversations. Where can people find you, follow you, or connect with you?
Yeah. So everything we do is at tamingthehighcostofcollege.com. So I've got a free resources. We mentioned that we've got a need-based aid calculator there. We've got a free newsletter. My podcast is there. There's 150 some episodes of college. So obviously we just crashed the surface here. And after 150 episodes, I still don't have it done. So we'll keep going. Some resources around what it costs in your state and strategies around need-based aid and merit aid and et cetera.
That's terrific. The link's below in the show notes, everybody. Brad, I sincerely appreciate your time. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
To our listeners, pat yourself on the back. You guys have made it to the end of the show, and most people never finish what they start. If you receive value from today's show, be sure to share it on LinkedIn, your Facebook page, or your social media platform of choice. Subscribe to never miss a valuable episode in the future. And if you found value in today's episode, give us a thumbs up with a positive review. If there's a particular topic you'd like to hear about, well, I want to hear from you. Shoot me a message on LinkedIn. The link to my profile is below in the show notes. You can connect with me there for more valuable content.